On the drive home, I tried to figure out why One Manhattan had me so looped. Letters on the street signs were floating to and fro, and I had to swerve to miss the curb twice. Somehow I made it back, parked the car, and got myself up the stairs. Once inside, I perused the fridge for sustenance. That's what it was. I hadn't eaten since the tuna melt. But there was no food in the fridge. I thought about calling Dom to have him bring something upstairs, but that seemed lame, and I wasn't about to go out again. I foraged around in the box of dry goods and located the saltines and peanut butter. Leaning against the kitchen counter, I ate until I felt some better and retired to the bedroom. I got my clothes off and slid under the covers. The room was moving around me. I clutched the sheets for balance, but to no avail. From behind closed lids, lights were still whooshing by like I was still driving. Then sleep. My dreams are often fractured and unsettling, but this one took the cake. I was at a bus depot in the middle of the desert, sitting on a bench by myself. The place was abandoned, and I knew I didn't have a ticket, but I sat there anyway. Nothing happened. Seemed like the dream went on for hours. Then I thought I woke up. I was in my new bedroom, in my new bed, musing over the desert dream, when I heard something across the room. I sat up. Through the shadows, I could make out a form, a human form, moving slowly into the doorframe. I reached for the nightstand and produced a gun I don't have, and sheepishly asked, "Who's there?" There was no answer, but the form continued to move around from just inside the bedroom. I called out again, more energetically this time, "Who's there? What do you want?" As the form began to make its way to the bed, my heart stopped, and I tried to shoot, but the trigger wouldn't budge. I finally found the courage to grab the light above the drawer where the imaginary gun had been and flicked it on. She was standing next to my bed, looking down at me with the most beautiful blue eyes I've ever seen, large and clear, just like I remembered them. She wasn't dead. There'd been a mistake. She'd finally found me like she was trying to do that morning. I went to put the gun down, but there was nothing in my hands. I motioned for her to sit on the bed, but she attempted to shake her head no. I knew that she'd come to tell me something in that dream way you know things that aren't actually articulated. So I waited. It was hard for her to move her head because her throat was ripped apart, mangled and swollen. She tried twice to speak, her eyes shining peacefully above her dirty cheeks, then realized it wasn't going to happen and smiled. She did what she could to move her lips so I could read them, slowly, carefully. She was saying, "Thank you." I started to ask her what she was thanking me for, but before I could, her eyes started to bat and twitch, and a different expression came over her, one of concern. I heard a sound coming from the front room, furniture being moved, and I had the gripping realization that we were not alone. When the second form hit the doorway, the girl's face turned ghoulish and twisted into an expression of sheer panic as she spread her arms and protectively dove on top of me. I woke up for real this time, shaking so hard that I'd managed to push the bed against the wall when it had been a good 3 inches from it. The sheets were wet. I rolled over, face down on the pillow, and screamed until I went limp.